Welcome to Hungry for God Church free weekly podcast. Enjoy this message from Vernell J.R. Samuel. For more information about H4G Church, visit us at h4gchurch.com.
Before you take your seats, just look at somebody next to you, give them a high five, and say, "Victory is your name." Hallelujah. Look at somebody else. Say, "Victory is your name." One more person. Say, "Victory is your name." Hallelujah. Yep. Amen. You may have your seats. Welcome back to Hungry for God, everyone. If you're here for the first time, welcome to the place where we are hungry for God. That's our hunger. That's our passion. And we make no apologies for the time of worship, because it's our worship that God enjoys. Amen. And as we go deeper into this portion of service, I just want you guys to turn to Matthew chapter 5. And as our director of ministry, Ryan, mentioned earlier, that we concluded our series, Beautiful Feet, 2 weeks ago. And before we start our next series next week, our new series, I just wanted to just talk about... Last week we talked about the purposes of evangelism. We talked about as Christians we have three callings on our lives primarily. Every Christian has three callings, at least three callings. The first call to worship, the second call to fellowship with other believers, and the third call to evangelize. Every person in this room has a calling on their life to share the gospel with someone. And the first two callings, I think we got that intact. But the third calling, I think we all need some growing up in that area, right? Sharing our faith, going out and evangelizing, preaching the gospel, sharing the good news of Christ. And it's so ironic that the third calling is, I feel like the enemy wants to really just keep the church back from really fully stepping into that evangelistic grace on us. Why? Because evangelism is the only way people will get saved. You hear the gospel preached and someone believes it, and we are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And so the third calling of evangelism, it's time sensitive because of the fact that that's the only calling we can't carry with us in heaven. We're going to worship in heaven forever. We're going to fellowship with the other believers forever. Evangelism is the only calling we're not going to take with us in heaven, because there's no one to evangelize to in heaven. Everybody that's there is saved. And the Bible tells us in 2 Peter that it is God's will, it's not God's will that anyone should perish, that everyone will be saved. And so if God's will is that everyone will be saved, and there are people that are dying around us that are not saved, and God's will is that everyone should be saved, the only thing separating people from God, the body of Christ doing their job, sharing the gospel, introducing people to Christ, being the ministers of reconciliation that we're all called to be. Amen? And so we really need to pray and ask for a new fire for evangelism, a new passion to share the gospel. I know for me personally, when I was in high school, when I was around more people that weren't saved, that was my passion. But when I started getting more and more stuck in church, my evangelistic fire kind of went down, you know, because you're around people that are saved already. So you don't really have a passion of, can't preach to somebody to get saved if they're saved, right? And so one of the things is that we need to rekindle in us is a appetite for the things that God is hungry for. Amen. God loves people, and he's hungry for people. He laid down his life for people. And God wants us, he's looking for people to make themselves available to have that same heart to go out and reach the lost. Amen? And in light of that, what I wanted to talk to you guys today about before we start our new series, I want to talk to you about remaining hungry for God. Remaining hungry for God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. You guys all know this. Blessed are those who what? Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Psalm 107 verse 9 says, he satisfies the longing soul and he fills the hungry soul with good things. Luke 1:52 also says, God has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. This ministry is called Hungry for God, not mediocre for God, not lukewarm for God, not passive for God, not boring for God, but hungry. What does it mean to be hungry for something? Anybody ever been hungry before? It's about for food. You've been hungry for, and you saw a plate of food in front of you while you were hungry. And you put your eyes on it. Some people dove for it on the table. You reached for it. But when you have a hunger in your eyes, there's an aggression about it, right? You can't be passively hungry. I'm talking about when you're really hungry. Being hungry for God, what does that mean? What are the implications of that? There is a generation that God is looking to raise up in this day who will be marked with an uncommon hunger for the things of God. A hunger that won't be satisfied with anything else. A hunger that can't be satisfied with tradition or can't be satisfied with religion, but a hunger that will only be satisfied with the presence of God. Nothing else will do. I want to point out to you 4 points about being hungry for God today. 4 points about being hungry, and why is that important? And once again, I just asked the question, what does it mean to be hungry? And I want you guys to just share with me just a few answers. When you hear the word, when you hear somebody say, you know, I'm hungry for something, I'm really hungry about doing this work, what are the images that jump out at you when you hear that? A strong desire. Somebody said a strong desire. What else? Wow. A desperate longing. That person sounded hungry. What else? Passion. Somebody said anxious. Anyone else? I'm hungry. An appetite. Who's that? What you said? Wanting something, all right? Wanting it badly, right? Craving. All right. That's enough. Somebody's getting real hungry. All right. So when you have, you guys said, when you guys have a hunger, you have a strong desire, a desperate longing for, a passion, and even a little bit of anxiousness or an appetite or wanting something really bad. And when we hear those terms, and we can think about areas in our lives where we're hungry. Some people are hungry to be successful, or you're hungry to make a name or leave a legacy, and you have a hunger to become someone great or something significant in life. And so all these images we all can relate to. At some point of our lives, we have been passionate about something that we are hungry about it. But how many of us can carry these same feelings, and now how many of us are hungry for God in the same capacity? And one of the things I want to highlight to you today is that according to Scripture, only all the promises of God, all the blessings of God in Scripture are reserved for those who have two qualities. They're hungry and they're righteous. All the promises of God in Scripture are reserved for the hungry and for the righteous. The righteousness of God. Those who are the righteousness of God will obtain the blessings, will obtain the inheritances, right? Abraham was called righteous, and he qualified for the blessings, right? So when we're righteous in God's sight, we can obtain all the blessings from God. But there's also something else connected to that righteousness, and there is a hunger that you must possess for God, for the things of God, in order to obtain it. Very few people in Scripture are blessed by being passive, by being mediocre about their approach to God. I'm talking about people who don't feel, you know, they don't really come to God with any intensity, who don't come to God with any expectation. They just walk around and just say, oh, whatever happens to me, happens to me. Is this idea that, you know, if God wants to bless me, he'll bless me. And let me tell you, you need to get that thinking out your mind. The things of God will not just fall on your lap. You have to go after it. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he is a rewarder of those who what? Passively, diligently seek him. Diligently. That requires a certain level of hunger or desire or passion to go after the things of God. And if it's one thing the enemy wants you to do, is show no type of urgency or passion for God. Everyone loves passion. We love to be passionately loved and passionately enjoyed. And I believe God also loves the same thing. Amen? Now I'm going to show you. I'm going to help you make this connection. Now according to Matthew chapter 5 verse 6. Let me show you guys points about hunger that I want you guys to take down, because this is an attitude that the Christian believer must have in their own lives. Now, Matthew chapter 5 is known as the Sermon on the Mount, right? It's the message that Christ shares to the multitudes of followers when he began his ministry. Some people call the Beatitudes the constitution of the kingdom, because before when I used to read these verses, I used to look at each of those qualities as something that some people are hungry for and thirsty, and some people are meek, and someone else will be persecuted for his name's sake, or somebody else, you know, all the Beatitudes. I thought it was like one person. Some people may have these qualities. But I realized that the whole Sermon on the Mount, when he talks about in Matthew chapter 5, when he talks about the fact that he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those that mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who are merciful, those who are pure in heart, the peacemakers. All those qualities are qualities that every believer is supposed to possess in their own lives. It's not individual characteristics. Every Christian, these should be the markings or the distinguishing attitudes that we should have in our lives. We're supposed to be poor in spirit. We all should carry a place where we mourn, a place where we are meek, a place where we hunger and thirst. And I'm not going to break down all of those attitudes, but the main thing that I want you guys to focus on is that he said, blessed are you when you hunger and thirst. Now, key word blessed. First point I want you guys to recognize. If God says you are blessed when you have a hunger and thirst, who does the blessing? So God blesses you with a hunger and a thirst. I'll say, you know, if I get a new house, God blessed me. Or, you know, if I get an unexpected check in the mail tomorrow, I'll receive the blessing. But how many people rejoice in the blessing of being hungry? The blessing of having a thirst for God. God wants to bless you with a hunger. He wants to bless you with a thirst for him. That means I cannot make myself hungry. God has to bless me with it. It's a spiritual blessing or a spiritual grace that God gives to his people. An appetite for him, an appetite for his righteousness, an appetite for the things he has for us. Amen? And so God wants to bless you with a hunger today. A new hunger and a new passion. Number two, the Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall what? Be filled. Number two, hunger and thirst is a prerequisite for being filled. Hunger and thirst is a prerequisite to being filled with God. What was it? In Ephesians chapter 3, the Bible says, to know the love of Christ, which passes all understanding, that we might what? Be filled with the fullness of God. To be filled doesn't mean you have some measure of grace or some measure of God in you. To be filled means that you are overflowing with God in your life. You know, a cup isn't filled until it's overflowing, right? And so God wants us to be filled with his presence. He wants us to be filled with him, but I need to be hungry and I need to be thirsty in order to be filled. If I want to be filled with his spirit, I need God to fill me. But if I'm going to be filled, that means I have to have a hunger. And I can't have a hunger if I'm satisfied with something else. I can't have a hunger if I'm satisfied with something else. Blessed are those. Say that with me. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall what? Be filled. All right? So without a hunger, God cannot fill you. God gives you a hunger by grace. Being hungry is supposed to lead to you being filled. Amen? But God can't fill you if you're full of yourself. See, if he wants me to be hungry for him, and he wants me to be filled, then that means I got to make sure there's nothing in the way that's substituting him filling me. And the only thing that will hinder God from filling me is if I'm in the way. Come on. The measure of God I have right now is the measure that I desire, the measure I want. God is only going to give me as much as I'm making room for. How many people want more of God in their lives? Hallelujah. I got to make room for it. Hallelujah. So the first word is, let's write this down together. So if you should be taking notes. First one, what I say, hunger is a blessing, right? Hunger and thirst is a blessing from God. You don't make yourself hungry. I remember when God made me hungry. I was in high school. I got saved in 9th grade. I didn't get hungry until I was in 11th grade. I was saved in 9th grade, but hunger kicked in later on. And I became hungry for God when I was around unbelievers who didn't have him. And I wanted them to have what I had. And so my hunger became, Lord, I want you to use me so that I can reach people for you. I became hungry when I became aware of the needs around me. I became hungry when I was around people who didn't have this blessing that I had. I said, Lord, I want your people to experience you. And then I began to pursue God and say, God, I want something tangible in my life that I can transfer and impart to my friends and to the people around me. And as a result of that, the Lord gave me a hunger in 11th grade where I began to read the word. I began to spend time in his presence, and those 10 minutes of prayer and that 10 minutes of study turned into 20 minutes. Then it turned into 40 minutes. Then it turned into an hour. Then it turned into 2 hours. Then it turned into 3 hours. Then it turned into 4 hours. Then it turned into 5 hours, where some nights I wouldn't even go to sleep.
a hunger came upon me where I never wanted to get out of the Word. I always wanted to stay in His presence. And it never left me since. My passion for His presence never left me. Because I understood if hunger is a blessing, and God gives me a hunger, and not everyone has a hunger, I don't want to do anything that's going to allow this blessing to leave my life. Because if I was going to receive everything God has for me, I needed to have a hunger for Him. And I had to learn to protect my hunger. Look at what the scripture says, verse six. If we're going to be filled and hunger for Him, we got to hunger and thirst for what? For righteousness, all right? So number two, hunger is the prerequisite. I need to be hungry. I need to hunger and thirst after righteousness or the things of God. And then number three, the next point I want you to understand is hunger cannot be taught. Neither can it be imparted. Hunger must be caught. Let me explain that. Hunger can't be taught. You know, one of the prayers that I used to pray for God, I said, God, the hunger you gave me, I want to give it to people. I want people to be just as hungry for the stuff like me. I want people to love your word like me. I want people to just spend hours in worship like the hunger you gave me. And then I realized something. You cannot give a hunger to someone. Because God wants the hunger you have to be authentic. It can't be an artificial hunger. In other words, hunger is natural. In the natural and the physical, I can't make myself hungry when I want to. You can't tell yourself when you're going to be hungry. Hunger is natural. It's instinctive. You can't turn on hunger whenever you want to. It's something that happens when you have a need. Your body tells you you're hungry. Right? And so if hunger in the natural is something that is instinctive, it's something that's natural, it's a normal part of your life, in the spirit, hunger is also something that you cannot turn on when you want to. It's something that's natural to your spirit life. And in the natural, if you lose your hunger, then we know that there's something wrong physically. Because the first sign of sickness is you lose your appetite. You notice that? When you get sick, you realize you can't eat anymore. You lose an appetite. And so when you lose an appetite for the things of God, there's something wrong. Hello? When you begin to lose your passion for the Word of God and for His presence, do you know that there's something wrong? Because there's something that's now replacing your hunger. Hallelujah. Because if I'm not hungry, then that means I'm eating something. Hallelujah. That's why I said I had to learn to protect my hunger. Because when there were times when it would ebb and flow. There's times when it would decrease. And I said, no, Lord. I felt like David. You know, David said, I'm longing to come to see your glory in the land of the living. And all the things he began to say was David was so mindful, and this is going to be the next series. David was so mindful of the presence that anytime he felt the presence was withdrawn from his life, he ran straight into the sanctuary, said, Lord, I want your presence. Because he knew I need to protect this hunger that I have. Because once I lose my hunger, that means something else is replacing it. And then when I lose my passion for God, I no longer have access to the things that God wants me to live for. I no longer have access for the things God wants me to have. And that means the enemy is replacing my hunger with something else. Amen? So hunger can't be taught, but it can be caught. Because some of the best ways to get hungry is by hanging out with other people that's hungry. The best way to get a hunger for the things of God is by hanging with people that are also hungry for God. You ever realize that? One of the first people that had an extreme hunger around my life was my older brother. He used to play gospel music when I didn't like gospel music. He used to, always have books and books and books when I didn't really read. And being around him, something rubbed off on me. Because I used to wonder to myself, what is it about the word and what is it about this music that he keeps listening to that he just loves? And when I began to be around him, I began to passionately pursue it. And it wasn't a moment. I remember clearly the one moment when I said to the Lord, I said, God, I want to know you more. And I began to pray that every day. I said, God, I want to know more about you. I want to know more about you. And after that happened, all of a sudden, that's when the hunger started rising. Because the Bible says, those who are willing and obedient will eat the good of the land. The good of the land. Who are willing and obedient will eat. Which means before I can be obedient to the things that God wants me to pursue, I must first have a willingness. I got to be willing before I can be obedient. Some people beat up themselves because they feel they're not obedient enough and they keep disobeying God. You don't have to. All you need to do is be willing. And the Spirit of God will give you the grace, the blessing that you need to go after those things. So the first thing I needed to learn, I needed to know that hunger was a blessing. If I'm wanting to be filled with God, I needed to have a hunger. Hunger can't be taught. It must be caught. I would love to give you guys an impartation, a laying on of hands, and then you can just be hungry for things, but I can't. It won't work. You have to want it. And the fourth thing I want you guys to understand about hunger, revival begins with hungry people. Revival begins with the hungry. Look at Psalm 107, and this is where we're going to end. Psalm chapter 107. I have so much that I really want to say, but I just want to make sure I just say what the Lord specifically wants to give you guys. Psalm 107. Try not to go in too much on this subject because I'll be here all night. Psalm 107. Verse 5, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. Hallelujah. Say that. Go to verse, let's say that, keep your hand on that and just jump down to verse 33. He turns rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground. Verse 34. A fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turns the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he makes the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation. Now notice what happened in the two verses that we read. In verse 5, the Bible says, hungry and thirsty, our souls fainted in us. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. In other words, in order for God to make us hungry, sometimes God needs to allow certain distresses and stressful situations to come our way that will force us to call on him and get hungry for him. And I said to myself, Lord, I really don't like stressful situations. So I just want to protect my hunger when I have it, so I don't got to go through it. But whenever you lose it, God says, let me let some situations come in that's going to cause them to cry out to me again and get their hunger back. And so he says, hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted in them. How many people had their souls faint on them yet? Then they cried and said, Lord, deliver us. And he says he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a what? A city of habitation, okay? I want you to keen on that. A city of habitation. A place or a dwelling place for you to remain and abide in God. Now, verse 33, he goes on to say the same thing in a different way. Look at what the Bible says. God turns the rivers into a wilderness. He turns water springs into a thirsty ground or a dry ground. Come on. He makes a fruitful land barren for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. Then he turns that same wilderness into a standing water and a dry ground into water springs. Meaning God will take one situation, make it unfruitful, make it barren, make it a dry place, where the place where you used to find refuge and solitude in, all of a sudden, you can't find any in there. And then the Bible says he would turn that wilderness back into a water spring. He would make that dry place and turn it into a water spring, and it is there he makes the hungry to dwell so that he can establish a city for a dwelling place. Now watch this. This doesn't just happen on a personal level. This also happens on a city level, a nation level, a corporate level. God will allow situations to come like the one we're in America, where we're like, what, $17 trillion in debt or something crazy like that? God will allow certain issues or certain situations to prevail in our city for a season so that those who know his name, the righteous, will begin to cry out unto him, will begin to make their voice be heard on behalf of the people. And then the Bible says, when we see a city becoming dry or a city becoming vacant or a city losing its appetite for God, the very thing that they're looking for, the presence, the Bible says God will allow the hungry to come and dwell there so that he can restore that city and make it a dwelling place for a habitation for him. In other words, when we see issues in our city like poverty and crime and violence and all the stuff that's happening or breaking out in our city, it is a sign that God is looking for some hungry people to dwell there in order for them to establish a place for his habitation. The reason why God will raise up a ministry and call it Hungry for God, by the way, when he gave me that name, I didn't like it. I wanted to have something else. He said, this is what you're going to call it. As a matter of fact, when I was praying about it, I said, God, I feel like I could come up with another name, a cooler name than that. That same week, I heard about four messages preached on people about being hungry for God. And a prophetic word about how God is going to raise up people hungry for him in this season, who's going to help bring revival in cities and nations. And so when I heard that word numerous times that week, I just said, okay, God, let your will be done. And that was actually probably 3 months into when we started the Bible study, which is where everything came from. So he called it Hungry for God. I didn't want to call it that. To call it that, I heard words about prophecies about revival and about God bringing revival. Then I said to myself, God, are you trying to start revival with me? And I was trying to run from it at first. I didn't tell anybody. Actually, I have a confession. That same week is when I got a word that it would turn into a church. This is like 3 months in. And I was trying to ignore it because I had no intentions of doing things like that. But when you're willing and obedient to whatever God says to you, God has a way of just making all the unrest and uncertainties that you have within your own self, all the things you're wrestling with about whether you can or can't do what God is calling you to do. If you just say yes, Lord, and make yourself available, and just say, Lord, I'm hungry to let see your will be done. I'm hungry to just see your will be done. I just want to see your will be done. When you make that prayer and you allow God to just humble you, then the Lord will begin to do the work inside of you. The work that you feel you can't even accomplish by yourself. And I'm telling you, this verse stuck out to me because the Lord showed me, he said, hungry people change the world. Hungry people change cities. Hungry athletes break records. Come on. Hungry soldiers lay down their lives on the battlefield. Hungry teachers stay hours after school just to help their students get passionate. You see where I'm going? Breakthrough happens when you become hungry, when you become passionate, because along the way of the journey, you are going to come across situations that are going to try to steal your hunger. And unless you say, Lord, no matter what comes, I'm going to press in. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to press towards the mark of the higher calling. Unless you declare about yourself, I'm going to be hungry for you, nothing else is going to stop you. Because the enemy is already defeated, but the only thing that you got to worry about is you tripping yourself, tripping over your own 2 feet. When you get in the way, that's when this grace and this blessing called hunger begins to leave you. And the final point I want you to see is that we're hungry for nothing more but for God. You know, the early church, their passion and their pursuit was around the presence of God. They wanted nothing but the presence. The Spirit of God outpoured on the day of Pentecost, and that was all they wanted. They championed the cause of Christ, and they made sure that whatever the Spirit of God wanted to say, wanted to do, that was all they were worried about. That was all their concern. Remember, there was Ananias and Sapphira who tried to come in and lie against the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, and they died, dropped dead right there because the presence of God was so strong where they were. Anything that was going to hinder the growth of the church by the Spirit, by their hunger, the Bible allowed these two people to die. And one of the things I wanted to show you guys was they were so concerned about the presence. Everything they did was around the presence. But today, in most of our churches, we're all concerned about our programs and our events, right? What we have planned. And then we put together these programs and events, and we ask God to bless us. But what we really need to be worried about is, God, what are you blessing so I can make a program around that? What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you up to? Because I know what you're doing is already blessed. And that level of hunger is necessary to stay aware at all times at what the Lord is saying in the now. It's very easy to resort back to our tradition and our, you know, our programs, how we used to do church 15 years ago and 30 years ago. But how many people are tuned in to the now of God? How many people are hungry to be where God is and not where God was? That requires a pursuit. That requires a passion on your part. And if you're not careful, the Spirit of God will be here and you're still going to be here. And when you don't sense him anymore, you got to find something else to replace it. I'm telling you, the days are coming, and I believe are now, where, thank you, Lord. The days are coming now where this right here that I'm doing is not even going to happen. That the Lord himself will show up and he will speak directly to you without a sermon. Somebody might say, well, you know, the preached word is important. It is important. But I believe the preached word is going to take place more out there. And when we congregate in here, it's going to be all about his presence. Because it's what he tells you, and that you're willing to do with it out there, that makes a city glad. The Bible says Stephen in Acts chapter 8. Not Stephen, who is it? Philip. Filled with the Holy Spirit, hungry for God, goes into a city, begins to preach in that city, and the Bible says he turned that city upside down. Healing and miracles began to happen, so much so that the Bible says that the city was glad and rejoiced at what God was doing through Philip and through the rest of the church. I'm not here to build a church that's going to be content, that's going to be satisfied, that's going to be lukewarm and passive, and will come Sunday after Sunday just to expect another word to go back and live a lukewarm life. I'm here to raise up hungry people. I'm here to raise up a hungry church, a people that will take the word, that will take the presence, and transform the city with it. And that requires a passion. Lukewarmness needs to break out of our churches. Passivity needs to go. There needs to be a new fire that's released on the church today. A new fire where we won't just come to church and sit for another word to go back and live a defeated life. I'm talking about people that want to live a victorious, a supernatural, an abundant life. And in order for that to happen, the prerequisite is a hunger for God. A hunger and a passion for Him. For Him. For Him. We get hungry for blessings. Lord, bless me today. Lord, bless me today. Heal me today. Answer my financial needs today. And the reality is, all you need to do is pursue Him, because when He comes, everything else will be taken care of. The church is no longer, we've turned it into a bless me club. That if God doesn't make me feel good, or God doesn't answer my immediate needs today, then I can't praise Him. I can't bless Him. Because we have lost our pursuit. The hunger and the reality of everything we do is to know God. When we know Him, we'll be in favor with Him. And when we have favor with God, we'll have favor with men. Everything you're looking for is found in Him. Which means the only thing I need is Him. Hallelujah. So as I close, revival starts with hungry people. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Psalm 107, last three verses. He makes the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesses them also so that they are multiplied greatly and suffers not their cattle to decrease. What I'm saying is, I believe that God has planted this church and this ministry to be a revival center, a place where His presence will dwell, a place where He will be the center of everything that we do. We're going to revolve around God. We're going to passionately pursue God. We're going to seek after God. We're not going to be satisfied or content with anything else but Him and His presence. That we're going to only obey His word. If His word doesn't say it, we won't do it. If He's not speaking it in the now, we won't say it. Right? We want to make sure that we stay abreast. We stay so close to God that we never want to let Him out of our sight. How many people are hungry? We want God to stir up a hunger in us. Hallelujah. How many people want a new hunger today? A new appetite for the things of God? Come on, all you got to do is be willing. If you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. God wants you to eat the good of the land, but you got to get hungry. You got to pursue righteousness, pursue the things of God. And righteousness is simply what? It's not my righteousness, it's His righteousness. My righteousness is as filthy rags, but He gives us His righteousness. God says, if I see you hungry, I'll keep you hungry.